What does the nearest kinsman or kinsman redeemer mean? Well, we're going to be Satan and don't want us to talk about the kinsman redeemer. Well, we're going to talk about him anyway, praise Yahweh, and we certainly hope that wherever you are, we're coming in loud and clear on 507 of WWCR, praise Yahweh. Sometimes these technical glitches happen. We're talking about the kinsman redeemer tonight. Now, I gave you the number for the Kinsman Redeemer, 1305. So, let's look at the Kinsman Redeemer, what his purpose is, and talk about a type of Christ. Man, this is awesome. I'm going to give you something, maybe perhaps, about the Kinsman Redeemer you've never thought about. And we're going to get into the benefactors, that would be us, as in the type of Christ, but in the type of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz played the role of a kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. Now, the book of Ruth, very interesting, isn't it? It is the first book in the Bible that was to be named after a woman, and it is the only book that discusses in particular the kinsman redeemer, so that's why we're very interested tonight. Now, let's talk about the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer. Now, if you will, if you go to Leviticus chapter 25, starting around verse 48, when someone was forced to sell his property. Now, remember, the property in Israel always reverted back to the original owner, which was Yahweh, who owned the property. And then he wrote a trust to his sons and his daughters through inheritance, and so they were to keep his law, and as long as things continued within the framework of the law, then everything was fine. But when someone fell into poverty, for instance, I'll give you an example in a type, the prodigal son in the Old Testament fell into poverty and he needed a redeemer. Well, that's where the kinsman came in. And while we were yet in our sins, Christ, the kinsman redeemer for the house of Israel. Now remember, you have to be kin. We're talking about genetic offspring kin to the kinsman redeemer. Well, remember what it says in the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 5. I am the root of David. Now remember last week when we were talking about Joseph and the long cry from the deep pit. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have been fought tooth and toenail about truth revelation. Satan don't care. Matter of fact, he'll join you. He will make league with you. He'll make a covenant with you. He'll comfort you. He will support you financially. He'll give you the things of this world if you'll sell out for the filthy lucre that is offered in temptation for you to preach the conventional straight line of the bell box denominational religious system of Christianity. Man, what a joke Christianity in itself has become. Why, Pastor Buddy? Because they cast the truth to the ground and they prosper. What about the other races in the earth? The other religions, everything that doesn't line up on line and precept upon precept to the living, holy, redemptive word of Yahweh has no hope or no claim either naturally or spiritually into the family of Yah. Now, we're going to prove that, and the responsibility of the redeeming kinsman redeemer who frees the debtor by paying the ransom price. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor, it says in Leviticus 25:25, he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. Again, Leviticus 25:25, and in our case, we're in Ruth 4:4 through verses 6. Now, the nearest kinsman had the responsibility of redeeming his kinsman's lost opportunities. If a person was forced into slavery, his redeeming purchase his freedom. When debt threatened to overwhelm him and the kinsman stepped in to redeem his homestead and let the family live, if a family member died without an heir, the kinsman gave his name by marrying the widow. Amazing how that the laws of the Hebrew laws, now we're not talking about the laws of the land. We're not talking about the bail box laws. We're talking about a tradition, not of those who claim Christ, but a tradition of reality and truth in the Word from the covenant principles, because the law itself was indeed the schoolmaster to bring us back to the old path. Now, remember, the kinsman then could not only redeem his property, but he had the responsibility of marrying the widow and rearing a son to hand down his name. Now, this is where Boaz really begins to shine forth as a son of Israel, kinsman redeemer, that Christ himself was kin to. Amazing. Well, how do you know, Pastor, about it? Because the Bible says so, that in the line of Christ, we're talking about David, because you see, Boaz and Ruth were the great-grandparents of David. Well, man, that gets very interesting, don't it? Well, when you find out the bloodline of Jesse and the bloodline of David matches the bloodline of Boaz, so therefore, Boaz could indeed be the kinsman redeemer with the responsibility. Now, here's the responsibility. Not only did he have the responsibility of buying the land back, which he did in the case of Ruth, but whose land was he redeeming? Well, if you go to Ruth chapter 1, verse 2, you'll see that Elimelech had two sons that died. One of these sons, Mahlon, was the husband of Ruth. Amazing, praise Yahweh, that Ruth was married to an Ephraimite. Now, isn't that interesting? Remember, Christ is going to come through the bloodline of the kinsman redeemer, because he himself, in a spiritual sense, as well as a natural sense, we're going to inherit the whole earth. Woo, hallelujah. Not only will we inherit the liberties and treasures of heaven, for the Bible said, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve him. So then, by the very fact that Christ being the root of David and the offspring of David, we have genetic claim back to Godship with our Creator, our kinsman redeemer, possessor, who came to lay down his life and shed his blood to redeem us back to the Father. Now, let me show you a very interesting aspect of those that killed him, those that punished him, those that said, this is the heir, or this is the kinsman redeemer, come let us kill him that we may possess his property. Well, you know what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen? Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Well, the anointed one, the kinsman redeemer, in this natural sense, Boaz, a kinsman redeemer for the Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judea, who came into the country of Moab and continued there. The two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, and these were Ephratites. Now, if Elimelech and his wife Naomi produced two sons. If Mahlon and Chilion were Ephraimites, then what would Amalek be? Well, remember, folks, Amalek is in the bloodline of Christ. So is Chilion and Mahlon excluded. For two more sons, and that would be Zara and Perez. They appear, strangely, if you will, as Judites, into the blood of the Ephraimites here, and something is wrong with the genealogy, and the Bible said that the birthright is not to be reckoned after the genealogy according to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, can you see what the problem is? It's because the scribes, in their desire to have Judah to be the birthright scepter tribe, have installed a fake genealogy downline to state that the Messiah will come out of the house of Judah rather than the house of Ephraim, which gets no recognition for producing the birthright son, but according to the book of Genesis and the prophecy of the great prophet Jacob, in the 10th verse, the Bible says that that scepter that Judah took and used it to prevail, not rule by covenant authority, but to prevail. Look up the word prevail. That when that Messiah from Shiloh, when he comes, that scepter will depart and go back to its rightful owner. And when Christ come, he comes through the bloodline of Ephraim, the birthright son, to claim the birthright and to have his impartation of this precious gift by the anointing oil of the day of his birth and his message and his death and his resurrection. All these are imparting into kinsman redeemer kinship, and the Bible is very plain in who it belongs to. Now, here we are as the kinsman redeemer. Let's go now to the 4th chapter of the book of Ruth. And then Boaz went up to the gate and set him down there and beheld the kinsman of whom Boaz spake. This kinsman came by unto whom Boaz said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took the 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. Now remember, the city of refuge in the Bible is a very strange clause within the Redeemer kinship responsibilities. He must also be the avenger of the blood of the next of kin that was killed in the family. When someone killed a family member, the next of kin would have the responsibility, according to biblical law, to go and hunt down the killer and to kill that blood that killed the blood of the kinsman. Isn't that a type of Christ? You say, "Oh, Jesus loves everybody, Pastor Buddy. He forgave them all." Have you ever read the Greek in Luke 23, verse 34? Have you ever bothered to do some in-depth studying and searching to make yourself approved that needeth not to be ashamed? Are you sure that Christ said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? When the Greek says exactly opposite, "Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do." Now, Cain was a builder of a city. There were six cities built for those who had killed innocent blood, where they could flee to until they could get a fair hearing before a judgment seat. Now, let me repeat that. Remember, Cain went out and he built a city. Remember that Abel was a agricultural tiller of the ground and a keeper of the sheep. Now, let me show you something very strange here. These six cities, six is the number of man. So man in a, for instance, if there was an argument between two bloods, and one blood rose up against the other, just as Cain rose up and slayed his brother Abel, when that happened, there was a law clause that says that the next of kin would seek revenge. Well, isn't it ironic that Genesis 3:14 and 3:15 says that there shall be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman? You see, the seed of the serpent was always doing evil. Killing. He's a liar, and he's a murderer. John 8:44 describes this murderer. And so then, Christ, the kinsman redeemer, came, and they murdered him without a cause. And they killed him, and they said, away with him. And Christ said upon the torture stake in true Greek, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, the avenger's role is that the next of kin, who would that be? That would be, in a spiritual sense, Yahweh himself, who fathered his son, the only begotten son, so then the father would assume the responsibility of judgment. And remember, that's exactly how it's going to happen. For God, the Father, according to Revelations 20 and 12, I saw a throne, a great white throne, and one set upon the throne, and before him were gathered all nations, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the book. Folks, it'll be a judgment of just law. It will be designed and followed out to the letter of the law. Remember, they that broke the law died without mercy. Do you believe that you're going to escape the wrath of Almighty God when you go against the Word and fail to keep His commandments, when you say that you love God and you won't even keep His commandments? You see, what we fell under is the spell of the serpent, as the serpent charms the bird Israel, Satan, the evil, the Cainites, have the birds of Israel charmed till they call evil good and good evil and cast the truth to the ground and they prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, there is coming a day of reckoning when the avenger of the Redeemer will come and judge the nations. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man, who now will assume the role of the judge, he's not coming back to ride a little colt and to be bruised and beaten and to hang again. Ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not his gospel. And so then, Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats. Remember the cities of refuge. They have fled to the cities, these killers, these designers, and they are well entrenched in the halls of Babylon. They sit as a queen, but they shall be brought low, for in the final judgment day, you will search this land, and not one wicked one, not one that has shed innocent blood, will remain in the land, and not one Canaanite shall remain in the presence of Almighty God. Praise Yahweh. Now, notice this, the avenger, by marrying the widow and rearing a son. You see, if Almighty God is the root of David, then the offspring of David through Christ would play the kinsman redeemer role, and he would marry his bride, Israel, and everybody wants him to be married to multiple wives of all different faiths and denominations and races and creeds and colors and religions, and that's not going to happen because you, he said, Israel, of all the people upon the earth have I known. And I have chosen you, not because you were the most, but you were the fewest. He started out with a few, but he'll have the winning majority in the end, because one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. And when the judgment of the Almighty God in his wrath begins to be revealed in the last days and the seven thunders of his voice begins to sound upon this land, oh, they'll cast their silver, their stocks, their bonds, their gold, these things that they trust in, these chariots and horses, and their installment plans, their usury false systems that they have built to create money as they are nothing but charlatans, or they are in deep witchcraft to create money out of thin air by the Federal Reserve. And all these things that they do, likewise, they shall cast their silver that they've hoarded up and their gold that they've robbed the innocent of Jacob Israel. They will cast it into the streets, but it won't deliver them in that day, for our avenger will not be bought with a price. They bought him for 30 pieces. This time, ladies and gentlemen, there'll not be enough silver and enough gold in the earth to cause anyone to kill him again, because he will come back with his angels, and his angels shall go forth, and they will sever out of the land all the wicked and them that offend and burn them and with bundles and tares. They will burn them until there's nothing wicked left upon planet earth. Oh, happy day when Yahweh comes my way. Praise Yahweh. Even so, come, Yahweh, and redeem your children from the hand of the wicked one. Oh, man. Not only was he to marry the widow of the deceased in the kinship, but he was to redeem the blood in case that nearest kinsman was killed, then the next nearest kin was in charge of redeeming. And ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the most astounding of all of the scriptures in the Bible that gives us the opportunity to see Yahweh himself in action in the last days when he's coming back and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, we're going to Numbers chapter 35 briefly. We're coming back to the book of Ruth, where we're going to continue on the kinsman redeemer. Let me read you in verse 9 of Numbers chapter 35. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, the Lord, meaning Yahweh. When you see Lord capital letters, remember it's Yahweh. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer, Satan is the slayer. Here we're giving him a refuge among us. How is it that Yahweh would do so? So that the seeds can either bring forth good, or they can bring forth evil. And the Bible said, prove you. I prove you. You see, Yahweh always wants to know what you've got below your collarbone. Do you have any heart? Will you stand when the heat's on? Will you yield to the temptation of Satan? Christ never yielded. He never sold. But they sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And they killed him. And he went to the city of refuge in heaven. And the kinsmen, the house of Israel, the offspring of Yahweh, will become the avengers in the last days. And they shall appoint you cities. You shall flee hither, which killeth any person at unawares. Now listen to this. At unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. Oh, my. Are they hiding today from the avenger? Don't you think they really know that the avenger is coming back out of heavens with his vesture dipped in blood? And that the blood will run to the reins of the bridles of the horses in the city when there shall be a great slaughter in the land of the wicked? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, the church is going up in the rapture. Glory to God. No, the church will go through the tribulation, ladies and gentlemen, and we will suffer immensely at the hands of the wicked one. But in the final trump, when Yahweh descends from heaven with a shout of an archangel, with his holy angels with him, then, as it was in the days of Noah, he shall gather the wicked and carry them away. As it was in the days of Lot, he shall gather the wicked and carry them away. Who was it that remained? Those that went through the tribulations of that day. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the example that done been set in the laws of schoolmaster, we have the avenger in the heavens with his vesture dipped in blood, and the sword is drawn from its sheath, and all the angels are standing ready at his command to march toward the earth. And there will be no rockets, no F-16s, nothing, no weapon that is formed against this cause of truth shall prosper. For Yahweh at the appointed time, everything shall be as he says in his word. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. The avenger is coming from the heavens. And then will my disciples fight for the glorious victory of the blood of the wicked will be avenged at the hand of the righteous who shall not be moved. Oh my, hallelujah, I feel the great anointing of the power of a resurrected Redeemer who's soon to return to this earth to give every man according to his works. And beware, for if a man says he loves God and won't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Who was it that died for you? It was not a Jew. There has never been a Jew worthy to die for you in the history of history. Christ was not a Jew. You see, we've been misled by the serpent and the serpent seed who have come in unaware and formed tares that have took over the kingdom, and now they rule rather than the wheat. You see, it is the wheat that is suffering at the hands of the enemy. It is the righteous that are under the foot of the power and the wrath of the beast. Oh, this beast power is raising and it's snorting pure fires, the dragon that come down to stand at the feet of Mary, who was a daughter of Ephraim, to devour her child as soon as it was born. But Yahweh helped the woman. And as the serpent put a flood of persecution out for those that called upon his name, because the Redeemer had come and purchased back that which was unredeemable by man. And the avenger is the last part of the role of the Redeemer. Now, a lot of people don't understand that the avenger has a role in the redeeming model of the law of Yahweh. Not only was he to buy back the property or the land, and ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh came from heaven in a body of flesh. He incarnated into this earth at Bethel. Your radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that the wise shall see and the dumb and the ignorant and the unlearned will be deceived. The Bible says that those who have eyesight can see, those who have circumcised ears can hear, and what he spoke in mystery, and he spoke in parables, that he may deceive the very elect, for God shall send them a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they're not his sheep. Yahweh devised such a strange way, wonderful way to be exact, that he revealed it to the babes. Who are they? They are the kinsmen of the Redeemer. Let me repeat that. They are the kinsmen of the Redeemer. Now, the Redeemer himself was not only offspring, but he was the root of the kinsmen. Praise Yahweh. So then, we've got a Father who dwells in heaven, who has been to earth in a flesh body as the kinsman. He bought back the property of Israel. He married his bride in the first resurrection. That was Israel, a perfect type. If you go to the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll see that there was 12,000 out of each tribe that came out with him in the first resurrection as a perfect type of the bride. The Bible said many that slept came out of their graves after the first resurrection, after the resurrection, not before, after the resurrection, the 12,000 out of each tribe, 12 tribes, 144,000 of these infants who were the first to shed blood and give their life for the kinsman redeemer. Oh my, praise Yahweh. These were honorable types of the bride. Remember, there's neither male and female in spirit, so don't get your carnal mind all crossed up in your thinking here. So then Christ redeemed, and then he brought the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. 12 is judgment. And there was obviously one tribe missing in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. What tribe was that? Dan. Who was Dan? Dan was the judge tribe. So then, at the time, Christ assumed the role in the north. Who sits in the north, in the heavens, shall laugh at the calamity of the wicked and mock when their fear comes, for he's coming back as a mighty one in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that will not obey or sign up to accept redemption through the blood of the living mighty one, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body. Now, let me show you about the scriptures in Leviticus chapter 25 and 25. The rite of redemption and the office belong to the nearest kinsman, according to Leviticus 25:25. Read it. Or near kin or a near relative. Yahweh is the great kinsman of his people. When their liberty was lost in Egypt, he rescued them from bondage. I am Yahweh, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will make my name or my family name famous throughout the world. The ancient patriarch Job complained that no one came to redeem him. His faith is seen reaching out and proclaiming that Yahweh will provide his redeemer. As for me, saith Job, in the 19th chapter and the 25th verse, if you'd like to have the source, I know that my Redeemer, kinsman, lives. Job, long before the kinsman would come to redeem the house of Israel, Job proclaimed that I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Job's hope looked for the coming Messiah. He affirmed his faith that his Redeemer would come to the earth to redeem the purchase price. Satan provided a price by shedding the righteous blood of Abel. That kinsman, Redeemer Christ, came to avenge the blood of Abel. Remember, he told everyone out there when Cain complained and murmured that whoever met him or saw him or found him would kill him. But then the Kinsman Redeemer City of Refuge, that's why that Cain built a city. It was a city of refuge, and this law was long before Moses ever brought the law. This law was being practiced in covenant back in the days of the Garden of Eden. Isn't it wonderful that there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been? I'd like some time to get into the world before the world and show you exactly what's going on, that you are now part of what's already been. And if you don't know where I'm coming from, you should. If you're not spiritual enough to discern that you were with him from the foundation of the world, and you're no stranger here in your suffering, but you're a stranger here as a pilgrim. You are progressing on a mission that you are assigned to do. Most of Jacob Israel has come short and failed. But to those who will remain in the battle, those that will remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Kinsman Redeemer, you shall go forth with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves for the last day. The Bible said much knowledge will be increased, and God will send hunters and fishermen for those who are lost in Mount Zion, and will hunt the sheep, and my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Isn't it wonderful that we got a kinsman? And we also have an avenger. Ladies and gentlemen, the wrath of Almighty God is going to be revealed from heaven. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't felt the earth shake and tremble at his presence. You haven't seen every wall fall down, as it is recorded in the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, after the great battle in the 38th chapter, when all of Jacob Israel's enemies, and I'm not talking about that sandbox place over there where the Christians are supporting these Jews who say they are Jews and are not, but are liars. I'm talking about the great incorporation of Israel scattered abroad, the 12 tribes that are abroad, not those that have gone back, who are nothing more than Khazaric in their blood and have no affiliation with the house of Israel, and no blood kinsman redeemer will not redeem that blood, ladies and gentlemen. That blood belongs to the Mongolo, the Cainites of Mongolia, where they came from, and that's why that there'll be no redemption for them, although there seems to be a great plan in the works there. When they returned in 1948, did you know that the Bible said that the true house of Israel will never return to that land? Have you ever read that? Why don't you read 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, for starters. We could give you a lot more, but we're not on that message tonight. We're on the Kinsman Redeemer, but I guarantee you that Christ will not redeem those except those that are his. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 15:24. I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Go not unto the Gentiles. Do not go to the heathen of the world, but go only to the lost sheep. The lost sheep are not the heathen or the Gentiles of the world, as some people, dumb, blind, ignorant, or unaware, or deceived, have never figured out. Who are the kinsmen to the Redeemer? If so be that Christ dwelleth in you. Now, the Bible said Yahweh knows them that are his. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, Yahweh welcomes all denominations, all faiths, all churches, all peoples into the kingdom of God. We're going to be one happy multicultural family. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. If you're not kin to the Creator in the beginning, you won't have any claim to kinship, and there'll be no redemption from you in the end. If you're not his sheep, then you're a goat. And if a goat, then you're going to be separated, and you're going to be hearing the sad song of, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. When you claim to have kinship to me, I've looked at your genetic bloodline, and you're not lining up. You're not my sheep, as I said unto you. Therefore, I say unto you, your father's a devil, and the works of your father, natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed in the fire. Where are we at this age and this time? We are in a midst of trouble such as the world has never known. Now, Let's go to the fourth chapter of the book again, to the book of Ruth, and I'm going to read the fourth verse. And I thought to advertise this, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. This is Boaz. If you will redeem it, he's talking to the near kin. You see, Boaz wasn't the closest kin. There was a closer kin to Boaz that had first redeeming rights. But this near kinsman redeemed, this would represent the law, and now we're fixing to come with the Melchizedek priesthood, with the next redeemer, Boaz, would be a Melchizedek. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside you, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Now listen to this now. The near kin said, well, I'll redeem it. All I have to do is buy back the land. But then Boaz said, what day will you buy the field of the hand of Naomi? And you must also buy it of Ruth, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Now, the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. What is those that put up excuses before the Creator? Father, I'll go, but then didn't go. Which is more justified, them that say they will go and didn't go, or those that say they wouldn't go and later go? Which is more justified? It's performance, ladies and gentlemen. If you love him, you'll perform for him. And if you say you love him and won't perform, you're a liar. If you cannot redeem your kinsman, if you don't cry out into the night from the deep pit of Joseph and cry to the other brothers of the house of Israel, it is time to unite. The two sticks of Judah and Ephraim are now coming into being reunited with the true facts that the kinsman redeemer was not a Jew indeed. He was an Ephraimite and out of the birthright house of Joseph, and he shall reign supreme. And in the last days, in the last act of that performance, because Christ, the kinsman redeemer, an Ephraimite, out of the bloodline of David, and we can prove that, praise Yahweh, and we're willing to debate or discuss this with the peers that we have around the country and all those who would care or dare to come and expose their ignorance of the bloodline of Christ. For most of the denominational system has locked into this traditional teaching that Jesus was a Jew out of the bloodline of Judah. When in fact, the scepter will depart from Judah, Genesis 49:10, and go to the rightful owner of Genesis 49:24. So if Christ, the kinsman redeemer, with the blood of Ephraim, the birthright son, then he had heir to claim kin, because he had the birthright. Only a birthright son can claim kin or redeem. And ladies and gentlemen, again, as they misused Joseph, they misused Christ, as they sought to kill Joseph, they sought to kill Christ, and those that really killed him were the Canaanite Jews of Jerusalem and Judea that hated him, that he wouldn't even walk in Judea. John 7:1 tells you that Christ refused to walk in Judah because they sought to kill him. Why would they seek to kill him? Because he was the birthright son of Ephraim, inheritor, and they knew that their little scheme of the scribes and Pharisees was at an end, and they were about to be exposed. But they done well to conceal, as they kept the Bible, the New Testament, the New Covenant, as they kept it in darkness for 1,500 years or thereabout, and after they got through the major overhaul of changing so that they could deceive the very elect if possible. Remember, it's one thing for a king to hide a matter, but another for the subject to search it out. If you're a true believer and you are worth your salt, and you are the salt of the earth, then you'll search this matter out, praise Yahweh, and you'll see that the evidence is overwhelming that at Bethlehem, Ephratah, where the birthright tribe was delegated and where it was imparted to the son of Ephraim through Joseph, the birthright son, to bear the responsibility of bringing the Savior, the kinsman redeemer, through the blood of Ephraim to redeem the house of Israel. My, how this thing has turned around, how we believed a lie, how we walked in darkness. No wonder they hated Christ when he come. He was the kinsman redeemer. He came to avenge. And Satan said, I'll kill you. And Christ, as the humble servant of Abel, said, you did it unto him, do it likewise unto me, for I have come to avenge the blood of righteous Abel. And Christ said in John 8:44, you serpents, you generation of vipers, you have killed the righteous ones, and that blood will lay at your door, and the blood will be upon your children. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here tonight. This is Pastor Buddy. You listen to the Shepherd's Call. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. Praise Yahweh. We apologize for the technicalities that we've had tonight, but we know that Satan don't want this message taught or preached. And I hope wherever that you're listening tonight, you will take notes. Call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, just simply write me Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, that's 2284, New Tazewell, that's NEWTAZEWELL, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, my telephone number again, area code 423-626-2172. I'm live. I'm in the studio tonight live. This is December the 7th. So give me a call. I'll take your call. And if you can't, if the line's busy, call back. Praise Yahweh. Keep trying. Don't give up. And tell me who you are, where you're calling from, and what you'd like to talk about. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to discuss this in more detail, we can do so. Praise Yahweh. Remember, the kinsman redeemer is searching for his sheep. And Pastor Buddy has been given the job, if you will. I signed on to take this responsibility to be a kinsman redeemer in our own house, the house of the sheep, the shepherd's call. And so the shepherd's voice is going out tonight for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary, pledge support to our program. 1-877-289-7439. That's 1-877-289-7439. Or Dr. Jack at 1-888-281-7320. Just pledge support to our program and ask about the products. If you buy products from us, praise Yahweh, it would help us to get radio airtime. Praise Yahweh. So we appreciate everyone that has given to the Shepherd's Call. Support us in any way, in tithes and offerings, and love and support. Your letters mean very much. We read every letter personally. I read every one of them, and I answer every letter in due time. Give me time, and I will get your information out that you requested. I will do my best to give you some appropriate time for your troubles of writing and calling and contacting the Shepherd's Call. We appreciate you very much. We can't do it without you. We wouldn't want to be here without you anyway. Praise Yahweh. So we're looking for the kinsman tonight. And remember, your kinsman redeemer was not a Jew. He was an Ephraimite from the birthright tribe with the scepter. You see, the scepter departed Judah when the Messiah came. You'll find that in the 7th chapter of John, the big raging debate of where he was from. And all the Canaanites and all of the scribes and Pharisees were against Christ. You know why? Because he wasn't their blood. He was a righteous one. He was not a wicked one. They called him Beelzebub and a demon, but he knew who they were. And if you know tonight, then you'll know the kinsman redeemer. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. This is my alert. I got to get out of here, and I've enjoyed being with you tonight. May Yahweh richly bless you. We'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call, WWCR Worldwide, 5070 Yahweh bless you.